Hey everyone, you're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Wes Towers.
And we are going to have a fantastic conversation. So let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
Yeah, so I believe that AI isn't going to replace you, but it is going to expose you. And it certainly has exposed me if I wanted to go into it. 3 years ago, I got a professional business valuation, which dug deep into my business. And it was a real kick in the teeth, really. So it came back a whole lot lower than I anticipated. And one of the main reasons was the rise of AI, and the valuer recognized that AI was potentially going to threaten my whole industry and therefore my business, and therefore my value wasn't anywhere near what I thought it should have been. So as I say, a real kick in the teeth at that time. So I think everyone's a little bit frightened of what AI might do to their career paths and so on. So I think it's something to consider how it might expose us rather than replace us.
I think that's a really important point, because I thought for sure I knew where you were going with that, right? Because I've done a lot of these episodes now. And so I've heard AI won't replace you because, you know, the things that you bring to the table are so valuable as a person, or, you know, AI won't replace you, but it's meant to augment you and make you better and smarter. But I've never actually heard someone say that it will expose you. So let's dig into that a little bit deeper. Yeah. How do you think that that's going to change that mindset shift of, hey, it's not going to replace you, but it may expose you? Yeah. How is that going to change how we build relationships?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? So relationships, I believe, the core foundation of who we are as humans. And that's the one piece that AI can't really do. I mean, it can try and replicate through, you know, chats and you know, all these types of things that try and replicate a human experience, but it can never replace that aspect. And I mean, through the valuation process, it was a really, because it was a thorough process, it really did expose my business to the vulnerabilities of where things were headed. It feels like we were so guided through to the automation thing over many years, because automation, it streamlines things. It makes your business more robust and profitable, and all those aspects which are really powerful. But when we get to the end point where that's to perfection and everyone's got that down, better down, because the tools are so easy, and we will get to that point. I mean, we're still fumbling our way through, it feels like, but at some point it's just going to be perfect. So what's left behind? That's why it will expose us. What's left behind, and who are we, and what do we bring to the table to bring value? For me, it just was a real resetting and to think about, okay, what's important to me as a person? And so I love people. I build relationships with people. That's how I've built my business, really. Most of my business is through relationship building and so on. So I doubled down. I set up my own networking group that was a business group, but more of a social thing. So I've done lots of networking with, you know, the formal referral kind of thing, but this was just social down at the wine bar and getting to know people as people. And that's what I always enjoyed. So doubling down on things I enjoyed really set myself apart in a way in business. So yeah, I think that's the key.
You know, one of the things you said there that was interesting is that, like, some point all of our automations are going to reach their max, right? They're going to hit, we're going to have everything perfectly automated. Everything's going to make sense. And then, you know, any more effort that you put into it, it's almost going to like have a diminishing return, right? You're spending all this time. It's not really going to return the same value.
Yeah.
And when we do things like that, when we optimize to the max, it really does strip us back to the core of who we are as people, beyond like, if 80% of my day is wrapped up in responding to emails and setting appointments, for example, and all of a sudden that's 100% covered by AI, then I lose 80% of my value that I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah. It's been really great for me. So, I mean, we do websites and SEO effectively for trades and construction, but we've optimized our process of building, and we're continuing to do so, introducing AI into the business and how we get stuff done faster for clients. But the end goal is the same. But what it's meant is it's freed up a bunch of my time effectively. It's a small team. I'm the only sales guy, so to speak. So, it's just enabled me to get in front of more people, which is the part I really, really enjoy. So, and just to understand their needs to a higher level, because there's just things, just by spending more time with people, you pick up the nuance of who they are and what they're trying to achieve to a far greater degree than sometimes. You just miss things sometimes if you're kind of a little bit rushed.
Tell us a little bit more about your business. Like, let's maybe put on our futurist hats for a second. You know, you said you do websites and SEO. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
But how do you see a future in which AI has a relationship not only to the customers you're trying to sell to, but the customers that your customers are trying to connect with?
Yeah. Well, certainly for thinking from a practical standpoint, to build a site, I think eventually it's just going to be super simple for anyone to do. And I suppose that's why the valuer was, and it was 3 years ago. So that's kind of when everyone started to realize what was going on and the potential. But you see vibe coding, which builds apps pretty well. But maybe the design isn't as sophisticated or as controlled as potentially what a human might do, but it's perceivable that it's just going to be so simple for anyone to do a website. So there needs to be some other form of value that's brought to the table by companies like mine. And I think that's what the valuer was getting at. So I had to really think through, okay, what value is it that I can bring that only I can bring? And for me, it meant also niching in a little tighter as well to our core target market, which is trades and construction. So the more I know about the industry, the quicker I will get to a great outcome for them, because I've learned so many similar experiences for the next customer. So just niching in really, really tight is what we chose to do. Double down on the human experience, human connections, all those sorts of things. So it is really interesting, you know, SEO. So we're calling it search everywhere optimization now. So because everyone's, you know, not just jumping on Google to find a business offering, they'll jump on their favorite ChatGPT or whatever they're using and have a conversation. So it's not like they're searching plumber Melbourne anymore. They're searching for whole sentences and conversations through their AI. And you need to be found in all these places, which is challenging, but really rewarding if you can get in the most important places for a customer. So bringing that sort of education and understanding to clients, and even training them how to do it themselves, has been an important thing.
So two questions. One, when I think about, like trades and construction and those more like, I'm going to call them rugged businesses, you know, my stereotype of them is not necessarily being the most forward, tech advanced, most like innovative when it comes to their marketing. I think of here in the States, you know, we have a guy who has a sign in someone's yard, and that's about the extent of their approach around marketing. So how has the response for your customers been when it comes to implementing these new, more advanced technological innovations?
Yeah, you're really right. I suppose it depends on the scale of the business. So the bigger clients will typically have a marketing person in-house, or at least someone looking after that who's not, they haven't grown up through the tools and found their way to the top like a founder has. So if you're working with the founder, and typically on a smaller business, it is a completely different way in which we need to come alongside and support them. I really enjoy it. And I think... For me, for whatever reason, I relate really well with those people. I guess I'm just more of a pragmatic, practical kind of person, and I enjoy getting straight to the point with them and finding solutions. That pragmatic, practical mind I find really helpful. So the good news is we can just set them up with really simple systems. For example, there's one client we were really finding it hard. We need to understand what a client's up to, what they do, what they're offering is, who their ideal clients are, all that stuff, typical marketing stuff we need to understand. And it's sometimes hard to glean out of these types of people. But for one, a really good case example is we just got him to record the jobs he was doing. It was kind of niche and I really didn't understand, but we just got him to record video of him working on the job, doing the thing and explaining what he was doing and the outcome he was trying to achieve and where he was working. Those videos were powerful. So he ended up posting them on YouTube, but it really gave me a solid understanding of what they're doing, and the team could write content from the blog post and it made great blog material. And he did really well ranking from that point on. So just finding little ways to get inside their head is the key, and to make it a system where they can do it on a regular basis. So this guy is doing videos anytime he does a particularly interesting job, which is, you know, once a week sort of thing, there'll be an interesting job he'll record. So those sort of little things. But when you're working with a marketing person, oftentimes they're really new to working, and they might have been fresh out of their studying. So you're coming alongside in a different way and supporting them so they look great to their boss effectively, which is a different thing. So, but you're still trying to achieve the same outcomes.
The other thing I want to cut back to, you were talking a little bit about like vibe coding, and yeah, that is something that I came across a couple of months ago, been really fascinated by. It's really interesting. But as a professional services provider myself, like there is a little bit of a voice in the back of my head that says, is there a risk that I'm going to lose market share, not to my competitors, but to this AI powered DIY approach of like people saying, I don't need to hire that person. I can just let ChatGPT, you know, guide me through it. Yeah. And I've done that myself, right? Like I haven't hired someone because I'm like, I don't need to have someone look at this. I'll do it. So how do we, as people who are trying to provide services that are still valuable without diminishing our own value, how do we differentiate from like, okay, yes, you can totally DIY and do this yourself, but here's why you should keep us involved. Here's why you need our expertise, and ChatGPT won't do it for you.
Yeah. And this is part of how it's kind of exposing us, because it's exposing us as business people, because some of the technical aspect that we once sold or needed to be, we purchased through somebody, some of that's eroded. So there needs to be a greater level of value that we're bringing in some other way. And that sometimes experience, just simple experience. You've seen this done before for a bunch of other similar case studies, and you know what might work in the real world marketplace. And if you've experienced ChatGPT, it can be very positive. So it kind of learns what you're wanting, and it almost gives you the answers you're wanting. You've got to be really forceful in telling it, hey, give me a brutal, honest truth about this, or what's the flip side? What could go wrong in this case, you know, in this example? You've got to really tell it to show that other side. That other side, lessons learned the hard way, I suppose, those years of experience, they're tremendously valuable, because they're just only you have experienced those things, and you bring them to the table in a whole new way. So yeah, the vibe coding thing, that with a lot of the tech, oftentimes the coding will be really, from a technical standpoint, it'll be quite bloated. So there'll be a whole bunch of stuff that is just a mess. It does the thing it was meant to do, but when you want to take it further, then you've got challenges, because there's just a whole bunch of mess in there you've got to strip back. So you still need to have that technical know-how to know what to remove and how to clean it up effectively. That might change eventually, but that's how it is right now.
Well, and like, for example, I'm not a developer, so I, you know, mess around vibe coding because I think it's fun and it's interesting. But for my business, like, we do market research and we do customer interviews and surveys and stuff like that. Yeah. And I could 100% see a world in which someone says, hey, ChatGPT, write me a survey about this. I want to ask, you know, these kinds of questions, right?
Yeah.
And, okay, take me through it. Help me build this in Qualtrics. And then, okay, take it out and help me do this analysis. So, like, I totally see a world in which you can DIY all of those things. But I also see a world, to your point, where if you don't necessarily understand the way ChatGPT thinks, then you might be following along with it thinking it's giving you advice when it's really just responding to you, your inputs. And it wants to be your hype man, right? Like if I write something for ChatGPT and I'll say like, tell me what you think of this. 9 times out of 10, I'll be like, this is great. This is so wonderful. Yeah. And then if I say, now I want you to roast this, I want you to tear it apart, rip it to shreds. And all of a sudden I get a bunch of bullet points about every pedantic, stupid thing that I wrote. I'm like, why aren't you giving me that in the first place? Yeah, right? Why do I have to ask you to hurt my feelings?
Yeah, I know. That's so true. That's the best way, isn't it? You've really got to do that to really draw it out of the tools. Because they're just so positive all the time. And that I find it really, just on a side note, I find it really good as my personal psychologist when I'm having a downtime or something, me to chat to somebody, it always has the right things to say to me, which is fun.
sometimes you need a computer robot hype man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get you through the day.
Give me a pep talk early on a Monday.
let me ask you another question, because I have found myself going straight to ChatGPT, and I loved your idea of like search everywhere optimization. Yeah. Because my husband uses Microsoft Outlook,
yeah,
and he was having an issue where some setting had changed and we couldn't figure out what it was, and it was buried somewhere in there, but it was annoying to him. So he spends an hour on between Google and Microsoft's help and support page trying to find something. Mm. And then finally I said, okay, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to ask ChatGPT. And we solved it within like 3 minutes because it took us through it. And I liked it because it was conversational.
Yeah.
And I have found myself doing that from a shopping perspective, where I'll say like, okay, here's the problem that I want to have. What are the types of things that I could buy? Where could I buy these? What should I consider? And so I'm almost using ChatGPT in a search kind of a way.
Yeah.
So if I'm an SEO professional or a business owner who relies on Google to get in front of my customers or whatever search engine I'm using, one, should I be scared? And two, if so, what should I do about it?
Yeah, well, the SEO principles now apply to showing up in the large language models. People are always looking for hacks and tricks and so on, and trying to rank quickly and, you know, without any effort. And sometimes these things work for the short term, but realistically for the long term, you need to be publishing quality content regularly, somewhere online. So where these tools glean their information and effectively for the most part through your website is the area you can control the message totally, your brand, your messaging. So it's kind of a two-prong approach. So having your main website pages that are really concise and succinct and compelling so people take action, but then to build in substantial content in the background. So that's why we use a blog. So it sits alongside your within your website, but it doesn't distract from the main message. Some of these blog posts might be incredibly boring until they're important to you right then. So I couldn't change the battery in my key for the car. I just couldn't figure out how to open the capsule. So I jumped on ChatGPT and it told me exactly how to open the little thing. I had to take the key out and blah, blah, blah. So it gave me the answer. So, and that was pulled from a blog. So it's incredibly boring information until you need it. So that's what I tell clients, just you can publish and not everyone's reading every piece, but when it's important to them, it'll surface because they'll be using a conversational searching method. And they'll get what they need when they need it. And hopefully it's your brand that's showing up.
You know, thinking about all of the people that you know or that you aspire to know, who else is out there? Who else should we be listening to?
Well, I love Joe Rogan. I prefaced that by saying that I don't love every one of his opinions. But I do love that he listens to all opinions, even though that puts him in incredibly hot water at times. So, and especially at this day and age with such polarizing viewpoints, I think someone who's prepared to listen and engage, despite he interviews some really wacky people, and that's incredibly dangerous because you know you get branded by who you associated with, whoever you're speaking to, that there's an assumption that there's some sort of form of agreement where that may not be true. So that's what I'm kind of valuing now. I feel like the world is especially on the political front, just way too polarizing and people not really listening to each other's heart and intention. I think people are mostly good for the most part if you listen to them long enough.
And if someone is connecting with you, they want to learn more, they want to follow you or your thought leadership, or just, you know what, have a great conversation and listen, where can they find you online?
Yeah, well, our website, uplift360.com.au, we're Australian, so .com.au. You'll find all social media there. You'll even find my personal LinkedIn, which I connect with anybody who reaches out on LinkedIn. You can also book a meeting there on the website if you're that way, if there's, you know, a need to do so, but happy to connect.
Thank you so much for coming on The Growth Signal. This was a really interesting conversation.
Great. Thanks so much.